an interesting paradox when we think about Christ going to Calvary to die for our sins. The agony, the physical agony, the pain, the suffering, yet the willing heart, the desire to do so out of love for each one of us individually by name. For he, because of the joy that was set before him, that joy that was set before him was you and I. He knew that by going to the cross and dying for our sin and providing a way of redemption, that you and I would have the opportunity to receive him as our personal Lord and Savior and go to heaven when we die or when the rapture takes place. And so we praise God for that. But the paradox is the suffering and the joy. He had both. He had both. There was a joy because he knew the goal, the outcome, and he also knew the suffering that he had to endure for you and I. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for each one here. Father, for our visiting faces and return visitors as well. And I just thank you, Father, for the body of Christ, the family of God, and the fellowship we share. Thank you, Father, for the worshipful spirit as we lift up songs to you, as our hearts are focused on you. We just thank you for that. Father, this message is yours, and I do pray, Father, please, that you will carry it to each heart as you intend for it to be heard. And I pray, Father, each heart would be open to receive what you have for them today. And I just pray, Father, that you will accomplish your work and glorify your Son, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When I talk about the cross, what is your first inclination? That's a rhetorical question. Is it sorrow? Is it humbleness? Is it negative? Is it positive? When I ask you how you're carrying your cross, does that become challenging? Is that offensive? Is that negative? Is that something you don't really want to think about? Or is that a joy? A lot of churches today, and I say that realizing that the people do not want to see the cross. Because the cross, what's it do? It shows us that, you know, Christ died for what? Your sin and my sin. That we're all sinners. And therefore, people don't want to be reminded that they're sinners. But I think that when we're humbled before God and we acknowledge our sin before God, that helps us keep on task and keep on focus and wanting to follow the Lord, because we realize every day God's grace in our life, the fact that he loves us in spite of our shortcomings and our sin and our failure, the fact that the Father looks at us literally as believers in Christ, and he looks at us through the applied blood of Christ on our lives upon receiving Christ as our Savior, and he sees each one of us absolutely clean, saints, if you will, according to the scriptures in the New Testament. And it's not a personal qualification to become a saint. And I want to get into saint theology, but I'm just saying that in simple Christian biblical truth, anyone who is a Christian is a saint, not because of what they've done, but they're called a saint in the Word, in the Scripture. Paul addresses the saints of different churches if you read the letters. It's because of our relationship with Jesus. We're clean. And there's no sin accredited to us at all anymore, past, present, future. We praise God for that. But even in talking about that, we think, well, is there a grieving spirit in our own heart when we think about our own personal cross, when God called us to pick up our cross and follow him? And I talk about the individual cross. Is that a vexing or a grieving or a weighty or a negative thought? And the point of the message this morning, I hope when you leave today, is that if you view your personal cross and following Christ as a challenge and a burden as opposed to a joy and a privilege, carrying our cross should be a joy and a privilege. And I want us to look at that this morning. Of course, Easter Sunday is coming up. You know, the Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Good Friday's coming up as well, a week from this Friday. And I pray that you'll come to the Good Friday service. And that's at 7 o'clock. But as we think about what Christ did for us out of the joy that was set before him, you and I, by name, are his joy. Isn't that mind-boggling? that you and I are the joy of the Lord that motivated him to go through the pain of the cross. How wonderful is that? So Christ bore the pain of the cross for us. Therefore, because we love Christ, we should bear or carry or our own cross. Now, there's something significant in carrying our own cross. Each one of our lives is individual. Each one of us has our own circumstances. Each one of us has our burdens that are personal. Each one of us has to deal with life with different situations. But if we deal with life by walking with Christ, prayerfully committing those things to the Lord, following the Lord, and being what God wants us to be through whatever challenge or struggle that we might face, what does that do? It glorifies God. Why? Because it reveals your faith in him. And so when we hold on to Jesus and we endure the struggles or the pain or the inconvenience or whatever it is that God has for our own personal cross, when we endure that out of love for Jesus, other people see that and they see our faith being applied to our situation, and it glorifies God. Why? Because it's like lifting up a banner. It's like lifting up a big sign that by faith in Jesus, I will go through this. By faith in Jesus, I will have victory. By faith in Jesus, I do have victory. And my hope is in Jesus, my Savior. So carry your cross to be worthy of him is another concept. You see, if we're willing to follow the steps that Jesus has us to go, and we're willing to take the consequences that follow in living for Jesus and giving our life to him, then the blessing is that we're worthy to know him even more. I mean, we have a personal relationship with Christ because why? We believe that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. He rose from the grave on the third day. He's alive today in heaven. And individually, we've said, Lord, I know what you've done for me. I repent of my sin. Please forgive me for my sin. Come live in my heart. And he comes and lives in our heart, and he gives us eternal life, and we know him. But to grow in a deeper friendship, a deeper respect, a deeper relationship, a deeper knowledge of who the person of Jesus is literally in our life can only come by you and I being willing to carry the cross that Jesus would have us to carry. And the only way we can pick up that cross is by standing for him, walking by faith, living for him, committing our lives to him. That's how we pick up our cross and follow Jesus. But when we do that, the benefit is that we grow closer to him. We grow in deeper knowledge of who he is and what he's done. In Matthew 10:38, it says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Wow, those are strong words. Think about that. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me. So you and I have to ask the question, because on a daily basis, we have to be willing to consider, am I willing today to pick up the cross that God has for me to carry? What does that entail? That entails me giving my life over to Jesus. That entails me keeping my eyes and heart and my spirit focused on him. That entails me adjusting my life according to his will and his purpose for my life. That requires me to be in love with Jesus on a daily basis. And if I love Jesus, if you love Jesus, we'll be able to pick up the cross. It may be a metaphorical expression, but it's a true reality in our life if we're going to follow Christ. We have to, and the only way we can do that, again, is by loving Christ first and not ourselves. Giving our whole life to him, loving him with all our heart, love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And the product of that is that we'll know Jesus more. I'll give you an example. You met people and you go, wow, they seem to have such a close relationship with God. It's like you can sense in a greater way the presence of God involved in their life. And you walk away saying, wow, that was refreshing. That's a reality that I sure would like to have. Well, it all depends to whether or not you and I are willing to lay down our own life and pick up our cross by faith and love God daily and follow him. And so the benefit is that we become worthy of him. We become worthy of knowing him. For he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So ask yourself the question, how desirous are you of knowing Christ more intimately? If you want to, pick up your cross, live daily for him. Carry your cross to be worthy of him. Luke 14:27 says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." It's so easy to say because I've received Christ that I'm a follower of Christ. Nothing could be farther from the truth if you're not following him. You can receive him, but the action of following him is a decision day by day. And what is a disciple again? A disciple is a learner of Christ. How do I learn about Christ? Is it just work through osmosis or spiritual osmosis and I just grow in more knowledge of him? Well, the Holy Spirit certainly works in our life. But God wants us to do what? He wants us to put our heart and focus on him, deny ourselves and live for him. What else? Be in his word. How many of us are in his word every day? How many of us are willing to sacrifice the time of other conveniences, maybe even television, for the sake of studying and being involved in God's word? And then there's that sense of spiritual warfare that says, drudgery. I don't want to study. That type of thing. But if we realize that if we're in the word and we're just reading the word and we're praying and saying, Lord, just show us the things that you, show me the things that you want me to see and to know and to learn of you. You might find yourself all of a sudden checking the references or finding something that caught your attention that's very exciting to you. And you begin to study and be in God's word. We all need to be a disciple, a learner of Christ. The other place is not just studying the word and praying and following him, but being under the preaching and the teaching of God's word. I want to tell you, those of you that don't come to Sunday school, you ought to come to Sunday school. Because it is a time to learn and to gain fellowship with one another. It's an opportunity to be enriched. I've gone to Sunday school all my Christian life. And it's always been a blessing. And yet, we might hear the little cackling, oh, that's for kids. It's Sunday school for kids. No, it's an opportunity for us to grow in the Lord and gain in fellowship. So whoever does not bear my cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To be a disciple means you must follow him and learn of him. To carry our cross is to give lasting honor to God. Does that put a different twist on how you view carrying your cross for Christ? You're honoring God. When you see that person who's lit up for Christ, I don't know if that's a proper phrase or not, but someone who's excited for Christ, who's committed to Christ, who just has that essence of they've been with Jesus, as the scripture says. Is it worth committing our time to know him more, that others would see that we've been with Jesus? Because when people see that we've been with Jesus, it honors and glorifies God. Wow. You mean by carrying my cross, living for Christ, really loving him, learning and being a disciple of Christ, I grow closer to him, I'm worthy of him, and people see that, and in that, what? God is honored and glorified. That's what our life should be doing. Second thing is I want us to consider, the first thing was carry your cross to be worthy of him. The second thing is never be ashamed of the cross. Remember I was saying in the introduction of this message that there are churches who remove the cross, or even put, I've heard that they even put material over the cross to cover it, to hide it, because the cross is so offensive. You know, in Jesus' day, they would never make jewelry out of crosses. And it amazes me how many people wear crosses as jewelry. I'm not opposed to that, but how many people know what that means, that wear the cross for jewelry, you know, that type of thing. If you're a Christian, it's very symbolic. And it reminds you of the love of Jesus and what he's done for us and what hope we have, what promise we have in Jesus, which is our eternal life. But in Jesus' day, hanging a cross as a piece of jewelry around your neck or wherever on your clothing would be like us putting a guillotine around our neck or in our clothing for decoration. Same idea. And so we need to know that we shouldn't be ashamed of the cross, though. Because it's the cross itself that Jesus endured to pay for your sin and my sin. And it's the hope that not only we have, but that we are commissioned and charged and challenged to go out and to tell others about the hope that they can have in Jesus. So many people don't have hope. I think we take hope for granted. You and I as believers, we know where we're going when we die. We know that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. We know the relationship is real. It's not just a religion on the corner of a block. It's because the Holy Spirit is confirmed in your heart and in my heart that Jesus is real, He is alive, and we know Him because He has identified with our own spirit and our own heart, hasn't He? That He's right there. That tells me this is not a religion, this is a relationship that we have with Christ. So we're never to be ashamed of the cross because it represents what Christ did for us and the relationship we have with Him and the eternal life that He's already given us. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's interesting, first of all, that it says being saved. We're already saved, but what that means is by faith, we walk by faith to faith. We work out our difficulties. We work out our challenges by faith in Christ. And that way we gain salvation through those challenges in our life. But we are already saved. We've already been placed in the hand of Jesus by the Father. That no man shall pluck us out of Jesus' hand. That Jesus is fully capable of securing and keeping us secure in Him for eternity. And He's already done that. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." You know, we need to pray for Israel. We need to remember them. We need to pray that their eyes are open, their hearts are open to the truth of Jesus as being the Messiah, the anointed one that was prophesied to come. But we need to remember that everybody needs to know Jesus. And we should never shrink from that. We should always be courageous and bold if we have to be, but most of all, loving and representing Jesus. You know, what were you talking about earlier today in Sunday school? My mind's a little Swiss cheese, but...
mine too.
Yeah. But, you know, we just need to be... The goal is not to hammer people with the truth or the love of Jesus. The goal is to love people to Jesus. To show the love of Christ. Sometimes it takes boldness. Other times it just takes loving and caring for people. Like we were talking about people coming to our door of different faith. And how we should, you know, talk to them and present the truth of the scripture to them. Not so that we can knock their heads and tell them what's right and mark up our scoreboard. Yeah, if we got them straight. It's out of love because we care for them. And if they pick up the authenticity of love and genuine concern for people to come to know the truth of Jesus, more people would come, I think, instead of this is what we believe and we're going to force you to believe that. It's like fishing. He's come to make us fishers of men. It takes skill. It takes observation, and each environment is unique to its own when you go fishing. You can go troll fishing. You can go deep sea fishing. You can go pond fishing, but all of it has a little different twist to it, and we need to learn to fish as God would have us to. And so, never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Colossians 2:13 through 14, it says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." You know, my mind goes in different places. First of all, before we were saved, before all of our sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven through the blood of Christ, every sin that we ever did was recorded, handwritten, if you will. I don't know if it's handwritten or high technology, but it is a literal recording of our sin. And so in Scripture it says one day the books will be opened and people will be judged. The lost will be judged. The books will be opened and they'll be judged. You and I will be judged by what we did with our lives for Christ. But we're already secure in Him. But imagine Jesus opening up your book of life of all your sins. And I'll think of a book. Would that be? And then all of a sudden, it's all erased because of your faith in Jesus. You see, that's the wonderful gift of salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, know this, that every guilty stain of sin in your life, God knows about, and you'll be judged for unless you believe in Jesus' Son who paid the price for our sin, and that we can ask Him to forgive us, and He forgives it all. The book is no longer this. It's not even there no more because the sins aren't recorded anymore. And so we can praise God for that. And that's what we ought to be doing. Letting people know that God can blot out sin. It's like when people receive Christ or sometimes after their baptism, they come up and they go, they feel so light and so happy and so spiritually blessed because they receive Christ or they follow through with baptism. And it's a sense of sinlessness, if you will. All your sins have been lifted off of you. And for some people, the sin weighs down so much they don't even realize how heavy the sin is, or they've learned to live with it, that sense. And to have it removed, how wonderful is that? And so the third thing is, carry your cross not as a burden, not with disdain, but with joy. My point is that I think sometimes when you've heard from the pulpit, remember, Jesus called us to carry our cross, that there's an automatic hand like this. Watch it, buddy. You're getting a little too close. Or I take that to be offensive. Or I don't like the thought of a cross because that means pain. But we shouldn't be thinking that way. We should be realizing that if we're carrying our cross, it reflects a heart that says that we love Jesus. That he's everything to us. That he's our Lord and that he's our Savior. And that we want to follow him. And remember that whichever way he leads us to go, remember he's the one that's leading us. If we're going to follow him, it means he must lead. And if he's leading us and we're following him in the steps he wants us to go, carrying the cross of burden, whatever that might be, it might be a cross of burden because we represent Christ. Might be because we take persecution for being a Christian. It might be because it's hard to be bold for Christ sometimes when God calls us to. But at the same time, if we're carrying the cross, it should not be reflected as a burden. I think Satan has tricked Christians to think that phraseology is offensive and a burden. It should not ought to be, because when we carry the cross, it says we love our Lord. We live for him. And in doing so, God shines through us. And he is glorified and he is honored. What joy is it to know that our life is being used in such a manner that people not only see Jesus in us, but God is glorified because of the life of Jesus in us. What honor is greater than to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord God in heaven forever? And everything that we do with a right heart, with a pure heart, and a love for Jesus, no matter how difficult it is, because there are times in our Christian walk where it seems to go easy, and other times it goes harder. And I'm not just talking about life in general and how life hits us, but I'm also talking about the challenges that God puts us in that challenges us to grow in him, to represent him more boldly. But when we do that, we're reflecting our love for Jesus. We're giving honor and glory to him. And that should be a joy. It should never be looked at as a burden or disdain or acting under duress to carry the cross of Jesus. But not the cross of Jesus, to carry the cross that God gave each one of us to bear. Carry your cross not as a burden, nor with disdain, but with joy. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's just basic Christianity 101, isn't it? And yet we find ourselves sometimes just forgetting about our basic Christianity. In Philippians 1:21, it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I love that. Paul said, hey, for me to live, to enjoy life, to have the fullness of life, to have true meaning in life, to have real purpose in life, and to have a life that has an effect on eternity is to live for Christ. And part of that, all of that, and as a matter of fact, in order to do that, I must die to myself and live for Him. That's carrying our cross. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Our goal is not to escape the cross, but to endure it. When carrying our own cross for Christ, know that He is preparing the way for us to walk in. If you see the bumper stickers, I love K-Dove, or I love this, or I love that, or whatever it might be. But if people see you and I living for Christ as a reflection of our love for Christ, I love Jesus. Isn't that really the goal? Isn't that the ultimate? Isn't that the blessing? Isn't that really the joy? If we can look back on our life, even day by day, or just look back at the journey of our life and say, you know what? My life has been one that loves Jesus. Not privately, because that's not genuine love. But to be open about it, to be committed to Him, to be involved in His work, is a reflection of your love for Him. You know, I was thinking about carrying a cross and representing Christ with joy. And I thought about the 23rd Psalm. Because the 23rd Psalm, to me, reflects the person who's willing to carry the cross, willing to walk with Jesus with an attentive eye on the Lord. So let's read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, the first time I heard that, some of you know this already, but the first time when I was about 17, I heard that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I got angry. I said, yes, I do want Jesus. But that's not what it means. It means that whatever needs we have, God will meet. May not be what we think we need, but He'll make sure He'll give us what we need. Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. If I'm following Christ and carrying my cross, are we not following the shepherd, the good shepherd? Yeah. I shall not want. He's going to meet my needs. He's going to provide what I have necessity for. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Boy, if I follow Christ, He tells me when to rest. He shows me there are days during the week where God will say, you know, Terry, what I want you to do today is just rest. That's all I want you to do. And I can feel confident in that and not worry about it. So He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That sounds peaceful, doesn't it? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, when we're, the other Psalm, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Kind of like laying in the green pasture next to a calm lake. The breeze is blowing, the birds are chirping, the butterflies are fluttering. And you're just relaxed, right? But as God leads us to these areas, He reveals Himself to us. He restores us. He refreshes us. That's following the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. How important is that to us? Some people don't have that privilege. But you and I that are Christians do. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. How does a rod of the shepherd comfort me? You know, when children aren't disciplined, they don't have the security of knowing they're loved, even if they tell you they don't like the discipline. If the parameters aren't put in place out of love, then they don't feel like they have love. You and I have parameters that God gives us, and if we walk out of line, guess what? We can expect the swat on the rear end. We can expect the rod. We can expect the discipline. Why? Because God loves us. And that's a security, but that only comes through following Christ. See, if we're following Christ, we're going to be aware of it when He's knocking us back on track. Because we know the difference between being in fellowship and not. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. What about that staff? That staff was used to pull sheep out of trouble. Isn't it wonderful that we can go to God when we find ourselves in trouble and say, God, help me get out of this mess. Make things right. And He uses that staff to redirect us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You ever felt like a Christian standing in the middle of a war zone where you know you need to stand for Christ, but others are looking at you with disdain because you are a Christian. You see, God prepares that table for us to stand in the middle of sometimes. But we're walking with him. That's where we ought to be. You anoint my head with oil. We're called of God. My cup runs over. The blessings grow over. Why? Because as I carry my cross and follow him, what did Jesus say? Then we are worthy of him. We're worthy how? To know him in a more intimate and personal way. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a promise. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we have those truths in our walk with Jesus that are solid, that we can follow with joy in the Lord. And as we reflect on what Christ did for us in this week and the week after or in the year ahead, remember that as Christ bore that cross, he bore not only in the paradox of pain and suffering and challenge, but also in the joy of knowing why he was doing it. It was for you and I to have a relationship with him eternally. And that's a joy. As you and I carry our cross, we can have the joy of knowing that in enduring by faith and loving Jesus on a day-by-day basis, people will see Jesus in us and he will be glorified. He will be honored. So love the cross God has for you. Don't look at it with disdain. Find joy in bearing your cross for his honor and glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, a simple message this morning, but a reminder. A reminder, Father, to love you first. A reminder to take joy in carrying the cross because it honors you and it reflects our love for you. To take joy to represent you in a world of darkness. And so, Father, give us the grace to do that every day. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives. Help us each one to love you. Father, if there's anyone here today that's not received Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and they'd like to ask Jesus to come live in their life, I pray, Father, that when I go down to and we have the invitation, that they would come forward and say, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. If there's anyone that's not sure that they're saved. Father, maybe there are those that have prayer requests or want to rededicate their life or want to get baptized or want to join the church, whatever they feel compelled of you to do, may they come forward and help me, Father, to just minister to them in prayer. And may you be glorified. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.